Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Brian Hills, Head of Data at the Data Lab Innovation Centre. I think it goes kind of without saying that you're in the most compelling space in technology at the moment. I do think that it is a massively compelling space. You know, data in general is just, there's so much going on and there's a lot of conversations being had around it. You must consider yourself quite lucky to be involved in the space at this particular time.
Yeah, it's really exciting time to be involved in data. I mean, my background was in engineering and then kind of fell into data around 1998 and been in there for a long time. So it's been really interesting and exciting to see how it's evolved from way back then to where we are just now and the challenges and opportunities for using data to both improve industry outcomes but also improve social outcomes as well.
Right, yeah. Well, I think that's one of the more compelling components at the moment, isn't it, is, you know, the actual application and the potential outcomes from the positivity standpoint is really compelling to me.
Yeah, and I think there's more opportunity for people working in data making a difference to actually tell and share their stories. I think, you know, in the general message that goes out to the public is focusing on security and other elements of Big Brother, Big Data, which are, of course, elements that need to be discussed and debated. But I think more attention should be put on the value that's coming out of it and how it's changing businesses and social impact to people as well. And I think that's down to us really working in that space to promote what we're doing more. And I don't think we do that enough at the moment.
You know, I've noticed that there's boot camps that you guys are running and such now to really get people involved in data and I think specifically data science. You know, so you are doing things to, I suppose, promote it and try and encourage people to get involved in, you know, a space which I'm sure is in desperate need of talent at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think the exciting thing about working at the Data Lab in Scotland is really about, you know, the challenge is about how do we make a change at a national scale. So working in a company, you're looking at the scale of your customers or your business. And here we're looking to shift the innovation and growth in Scotland through better use of data. And that's a really interesting challenge and lens to look through the data angle at. So that spans, you know, how do we catalyse better collaborations and innovation and data across the country between industry and academia and public sector? And how do we grow the new talent funnel for the country? And how do we improve the professional development funnel? And then how do we bind that together in a very strong national community that also has very strong international links? And for us, that's a really exciting space to operate in at that national kind of challenge level.
Is it certain sort of fundamentals or is it really the characteristics and I suppose the approach to data that, you know, you really want to, you know, build up in recruits? Or what is it that, you know, you're hoping to, I suppose, improve and achieve from these boot camps, for example?
Well, the boot camp element is just a small amount of the portfolio, and that was really designed around improving professional development. So transforming the likes of analysts and statisticians in a three-week intensive boot camp such that they had new skills and new thought patterns that would allow them to think like and deliver like a data scientist. That for us was an experiment. So, you know, out of that and a wider skills program now, we've got a new talent programme. So starting in September, we're increasing our cohorts such that we have 130 master's students running across 11 universities in Scotland. And we sponsor them and we run extra activities to connect them with industry and the public sector. Our objective really is to be able to put those graduates into the Scottish economy. But then the second element of that skills programme then is to look at the people who are already in tech, you know, over 90,000 people working in Scotland in digital. They need data literacy, from the basics at some elements through to the hardcore elements. So we are creating or just launched a professional development programme, initially looking at elements of leadership in data. So we've got an executive data programme that has been taking off and has been attended by over 200 leaders in the last 6 months, all the way through to technical skills on cloud platforms and R programme and Python programming, etc. So over the next 6 months, we're trialling that out. And our ambition then is to grow that significantly in the following year. So skills for us is really core because there's so much demand and global competition for skills in that space.
Interesting, very interesting. And what aspects of it are you kind of, I suppose, most hands-on involved with, or are you kind of looking at the whole scope as the head of data?
So I've been on a bit of a journey since I joined the Data Lab. So when I started, there's only a couple of us here. So what landed on my desk was essentially bootstrap up the master's programme with three universities, and 40 students. Never done anything but like that before, but we did it. And then the demand for skills was so high that we started creating our own skills team. And in addition to that, I have always been involved in engagements and defining the innovation projects that we do, bringing new projects in. And now within the last year, I was launching the data festival that we do now. So I was running that earlier this year. And now really progressing on to developing our own in-house data team. So that's the main area of focus for me over the next few months. And that data team is created in such a way that we can seed small proof of concepts with collaborations with the public sector and industry to allow them to try new things out in the space of data, which is going to give them significant impact. So an example of that I can give you one is some of the work that we've done with the public sector. So we recently won an award with a project looking at delayed discharge or bed blocking, as some might refer to it. So that's over £100 million challenge for the Scottish economy every year. And so we were involved in a project to look at, if somebody presents themselves at hospital, what's the probability that person is going to be delayed on discharge? And so we've done that for One Health Board. We went through a process in collaboration with the government and the NHS, and the data scientists created a model which was 97% accurate. And so that was a proof of concept, and we handed that back to the government and NHS to say, okay, rerun that across your other health boards, test out the algorithm, and if it works, then it's up to you guys to embed that within your processes to run it in production. So that's the sort of things that we're getting our data scientists involved in to really help start shifting the needle in the public sector, but also on the industry side as well.
Interesting, mate. Really interesting stuff. And as far as kind of the data scientist element of things, you know, how much has that kind of skill set really developed? That, you know, has it been really the last 5 years where we've really seen that specific area in data science kind of take off? It's not been that long, has it?
No, it hasn't. I remember I was running a team at the time when the articles came out from DG Patil and the others, and then we had a discussion about it, and then overnight we changed our analyst team to the data science team, which I think a lot of people faced that discussion as well. But I think it's part of a move from the kind of maturity of the area in from traditional business intelligence reporting to changing the whole cultural play in using data and much more treating it like the experimentation, the scientific method. You know, the science piece in data science for me is really the key word. It's about both culturally and from a technical perspective, creating an atmosphere where you can experiment with data and learn from your outputs and then feed those outputs back in to your business or organisation to then drive the decisions that you need to make. I think a lot of businesses were in the past, it's all very waterfall and go through large projects and it's kind of A to Z and linear. I think that the change over the last 5 years is breaking that thinking and being much more experimental, although absolutely aligned with the objectives of what the business needs to do. And that obviously fits well into the agile way of working.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I've got some of these that I'm supposed to ask as well. Glad to get your kind of take on it. But I talk with a ton of different people, you know, from C-level people to, you know, junior to, you know, data guys to etc. The investment in, you know, BI teams and data teams has dramatically increased over the last couple of years. However, I wish I could quote the report now that I saw, but basically what the report was adhering to was the fact that although the investment had been made, you know, so a lot of the C-level people or the hierarchical people were claiming that they hadn't seen, you know, the positive ROI from their investment in data teams yet. Now, my kind of take on this is that the problem isn't necessarily in the work that's being done. I think there's also variables such as communicating the work that's being done. What's kind of your take on that?
I think a couple of things I learned from my last position in running an in-house team was scaling up. I think on the communication piece, as a leader, it's essential. So I think in my last role, I was probably spending about 40% of my time just evangelizing what the team were doing, because it was a cultural shift to have a dedicated data team within an organization. And so it's a constant thinking about how you're messaging what you're doing and what you're going to do, from your senior level colleagues right down to the other people around the organization that you're going to deliver to. And I think, you know, my career path coming from a technical and engineering background, you know, that's not something that we would typically do in creating data outputs or engineering. It's not something that comes naturally to us. So for a lot of the emerging leaders that are going through their career path and emerging as data leaders, that's something that, you know, they need to be aware of and start bolting into their skill set. I think the second thing for me as well that I've always been conscious of is if you come on board and people are making an investment in you and the team, you have to be able to measure yourself. You have to be able to measure the outputs you're delivering. And I think that we in data find it difficult to measure ourselves. We love to measure everything else apart from ourselves. When it comes down to thinking about, well, how do we measure the impact that we're creating in an organization? You know, I think we as data communities need to be better at doing that. And I've certainly tried to do that in the past in terms of aligning the outputs that we're doing, collecting the value and the feedback from our internal and external customers, looking at how productive we are, looking at how the rate of automation that we're delivering, various sets of metrics. And I don't see a lot of that happening at the moment in other teams. And I think it's a key thing to put in place to track that value and communicate the return on investment that the organizations have made in data.
You know, I suppose, like as you said, it's really from a leadership standpoint, having that discipline and awareness of, you know, business goals and outcomes. I can imagine it's very easy to get kind of sidetracked on projects when you're working within data, because you discover new things and then you get kind of veered off track and so on and so forth. So I can imagine that the need for a leader to be, you know, absolutely disciplined at seeking out, you know, what is going to best serve the business needs is a big part of the role.
Yeah, absolutely. I think understanding what your team's delivering and what the outputs have been. So I'll give you an example in previous employment. So when we were bootstrapping the team up, we only had two analysts. And when I started, there was basically a queue at their desk every day. You know, it was essentially the IT function. And for me, data is where IT goes to die, right? Because if people perceive data as IT, IT has a bad perception and is always trying to push value, but it's always an uphill struggle. And so we didn't want to develop a help desk, but what we wanted to start to do was to record the types of requests that we were getting from the business. And then having that trend of data, we can understand, well, what are the things that we should go after first to automate. So the biggest type of request we had in the first kind of 6 months of setting that up was 50% of the requests we got were from the PR team. And they're essentially, the nature of those requests is we've had some contact from external PR. They want to run an article in the next 6 hours and the next day, and we need a slice of data. Highly disruptive to the team in terms of getting work done, high volume as well. So we understood what the patterns of requests coming in from that team were. And what we actually did was built some components that automated that and allowed the self-service reporting to that team. And then within the space of, say, 3 weeks, I think it was, they were able to self-serve their own data and analysis. And that took the load off the team and allowed us to concentrate on other things. So starting to put that tracking in place, I think, is key for you to learn as a leader and what your operation is actually doing, and then how you tune that to best fit the business and demonstrate value.
You know, it's really good information, I think, for everyone really to consider. When you know, and we spoke a little bit about this, but when you're looking at your team and on the recruitment side, are some of those characteristics and traits and kind of overall macro understanding of what you're trying to build as a team, is that as important now as it is the skill set? Or is it becoming a bigger part of the picture now for what you have to consider when bringing people on board?
There's a wider challenge in recruitment that's not just data. You know, I've probably fallen into this trap before, is thinking about when you're building the team out, you're not looking for clones of yourself or clones of the team that you've already got. It's the, what's the blend of skill sets and people's skills is going to deliver the most value for you. And it's a tricky thing to do when you come from a particular area with a particular lens on the recruitment piece. And I think certainly taking advice from others and how they've done it has been very useful in the past. I think one of the approaches that I've used is actually in building a team from scratch is finding two or three very experienced people that you can trust in and they'll get started, but then invest in new talent who have the inquisitive nature and very proactive nature just to get stuck in to the challenges and start learning. And that's been quite effective in the past when I've been building out teams. You know, you want people who have a strong appetite to learn new technologies and methodologies and domains. And you want leaders who can mentor and grow that skill set as well. So I think, you know, starting off with some experienced people, but then coming in with the graduates is a good approach to doing it, and cost effective in some cases as well.
But it's nonetheless... I can imagine almost as challenging as anything is the people side of the job.
Yeah, and it's a highly competitive market, obviously, to recruit those people. And I think, you know, one of the learnings I had is you need to create a brand for your own team. And when you're recruiting externally, you know, you've got to be thinking that this skill set is high in demand. How are you going to attract the person to want to apply in the first place? Or let me rephrase that, how are you going to attract the person that you're interested in to apply for your role rather than anyone else's? And I think a key element to that is the brand that you're developing as an organisation, but also the brand and the values that you have as your own data team. So what's the challenging work that you're looking at? How does the team operate? What's your mission in the organisation, etc.? And I think that can be a key differentiator. And I'll give you a practical example of that. So we run as part of our data festival, we run a recruitment milk round event, which is really designed to bring lots of graduates, so over 250 PhD and master's graduates from our universities, together with employers who want to hire them. So all data skills, data mathematics, engineering. And so we have a mix of people that will come to that event to try and recruit. So from the unicorns that operate within Scotland to the startups to the public sector. And the most successful organisations who have recruited there have actually been the NHS. And their approach is really to pitch what their challenges are and how they will make a difference with data to people's lives. And that resonates to all of us because we've all had experience of the healthcare system. We've all got relatives who've experienced it as well. And so there's an empathy and a relation that actually, if I can use my data skills to improve people's lives, that's something that's really worthwhile doing. So, you know, the way that you pitch the opportunity and the challenge that you're presenting to the people that you're trying to recruit, I think is absolutely fundamental. It's not just about selling, you get the opportunity to play in certain types of technology.
You know, I'm conscious of time, Brian, but, you know, one thing that I'm sure is pretty easy for you to continuously be motivated by is what you're working on at the moment. But, you know, above all else, characteristics that I suppose have gotten you to this point and, you know, and motivated you continuously to keep up to date with the latest and greatest. It's not something that's an easy role in technology from someone who's been involved in technology for a while, because you're constantly having to learn, force yourself to reskill, all the rest of it. There's a lot of effort that I think goes into performing at a consistent high level in the tech space. You know, how have you kind of managed to maintain that kind of level and continuously kind of push forward?
I think there's two key things for me really looking back, and it's when we're talking to the graduates in our program, it's information I share with them. So when I started around 1998, I joined as a graduate into Hewlett-Packard, and at that point, as a naive graduate, I thought this is a fantastic organization to work in. I'll be here for life, and indeed, I worked with people who'd been there for most of their lives and were about to retire. And then we came into the kind of 2001, 2002 period, into the crash, and it became obvious that, you know, there are no jobs for life anymore. My attitude really was to then look for opportunities that would build up my experience over, say, a 2 to 4 year period, and continually change and learn. And I think, you know, my approach has been to do that rather than stay with any one organization, and actively encourage anybody working in this space that there is so much opportunity and there is so much demand that whatever your area you're interested in, you can freshen it up and try other things, and actively encourage people to do that. I think also it's about being kind of dedicated to continuing to learn. You've got to want to keep learning, both looking back on what you've achieved and what you failed at, and then planning out what's your next step. Because as you say, you know, you can't afford to stay static in the area that we work in because things are changing so much. And I think a key piece playing into that then is developing your own network. So the technical and the leadership people that will help you and guide you and as you develop your career in different avenues. And certainly we see up here in Scotland, you know, that Scotland is such a small ecosystem that, you know, it's not worthwhile creating enemies in this space. It's about learning from people, because you never know when, you know, in a few years' time, you'll end up working with the same person again in another role, which has happened to me a number of times. So I think that the networking piece is also very important.
I agree, mate. Interesting. Very interesting. And great principles, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure, Brian. Thank you so much for sharing, mate. I genuinely enjoyed it and I've taken a lot from this. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud. Or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.